while he called to them. But today they ignored him and floated away, white and shining, towards the tennis court. Swans were there, their long necks excavating under the dark, muddy water. All around, there was a wheezy, creaking noise as the water soaked into unaccustomed places. And in the distance, a roar. And above it, the shouts of men trying to rescue animals from the low-lying fields. A passing pig, squealing, its short legs madly beating the water and tearing at its throat, which was red and bleeding. And a large, flat-bottomed boat followed, with men inside. The boat whirled round and round in the fierce current, but eventually the pig was saved, and squealed even louder. The children, Hattie and Dennis, watched the rescue from a bedroom window, and suddenly the sun came out very bright and strong, and everywhere became silver. Old Ives below said,
"It's a bad thing for the sun to shine on a flood. It draws the dampness back to the sky."
The grandmother came and joined him, and they talked together in the veranda. There was a great smell of mud, and it was the 1st of June. In the kitchen, the maids pinned their skirts up high and splashed about in the water trying to prepare breakfast. Their bare legs became quite red. In the large range, a fire burnt brightly, and the flames were reflected in the water. But there was a smell of damp and cellars all around. The girls, they were sisters called Nora and Eunice, laughed as they chased a floating basket filled with eggs. Their laughter changed to screeches when a huge, crying shadow passed the window, but it was only the last of the peacocks flying from a tree to the coal shed roof. The other three peacocks had been drowned in the night, and their bodies were floating sadly round the garden. But no one knew this yet, or what had happened to the hens. As the day went on, the hens, locked in their black shed, became depressed and hungry, and one by one they fell from their perches and committed suicide in the dank water below, leaving only the cocks alive. The sorrowful sitting hens, all broody, were in another dark, evil-smelling shed, and they died too. They sat on their eggs in a black, broody dream until they were covered in water. They squawked a little, but that was all. For a few moments, just their red combs were visible above the water, and then they disappeared. Eben Willowweed rowed his daughters round the submerged garden. He rowed with gentle, ineffectual strokes, because he was a slothful man, but a strong vein of inquisitiveness kept him from being entirely indolent. He rowed away under a blazing sun. The light was very bright, and the water brilliant. Sometimes there would be a bumping and scraping under the boat as it passed over a garden seat, or tree trunk, or some object only slightly covered by water. Strange objects of pitiful aspect floated past. The bloated body of a drowned sheep, the wool withering about in the water, a white beehive with the perplexed bees still around, a newborn pig, all pink and dead, and the mournful bodies of the peacocks. It seemed so stark to see such sorrowful things under the blazing sun and blue sky. A mist of rain would have been more fitting. Now a tabby cat, with a distended belly, passed, its little paws showing above the water, its small head hanging low. Eben Willowweed turned his round blue eyes in its direction with interest and poked at it with his oar. His daughters were filled with sadness and asked to be taken back to the house, but he turned the boat towards the river. Then the current became much stronger, and there was the sound of swirling water against trees and posts, and he had to get one of the girls to take an oar to get the boat back to the safety of the garden. After this exertion, he became quite agreeable to returning.